Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Amud Aleph, three lines down. The Gemara says, Itmar, Rabun Amar, Achidei Rosh Bishidranikar. The only way that you can eat the tarit she'ena trufa, which has these fish hash or chopped up fish in it, is if you can identify the fish through having both its head there and shidra and having a spinal cord. Rav Nachman Amar, O Rosh, O Shidra. You can have either identifying mark to identify the fish, and either those, one of those would suffice in this case to make it that the tarit she'ena trufa is considered to be kasher. Meiti Rav Ukva Bar Chama. So Rav Ukva Bar Chama says, how can you say that? How can you use these simanim to identify whether a fish is kasher or not? Don't we have a Mishnah that's explicit in Chulin, which is Ubedagim? How do you determine whether a fish is kasher or not? Kol she'esh lo snafir v'kaskeset. Anything that has fins and scales associated with it. So if that are the identifying features of a fish, how can you use other features? The way that Rashi reads this is that the Mishnah is coming to be exclusionary. It's saying that ein siman bedagim bedavar acher. These are the only simanim of a dog, and that is fins and scales. And therefore, it's a question on both parties here. It's a question of Huna and Rav Nachman that they're using alternative means to identify the kasher fish. The Baalei HaTosafot say that they don't like that explanation of Rashi, and they say, "Lekach nira de mishidra lo parech mide." That with regards to the spinal cord, they're not asking questions. These are good simanim for the fish, but the reason that they left out shidra, which is an identifying factor for the kasher fish, is because it's an internal way to look at it. They gave in the Mishnah the external things that would tell you that it's a fish that is kasher, which is snapir v'kaskeset. The Mishnah left out shidra. But that means now that it's not a question on Rav Huna, because Rav Huna over here requires both a head and a spinal cord. The question is on Rav Nachman, who says that you could even get away with just using a head. Well, now, if you're using the head, that's an external identifying mark. Why is it that the Mishnah doesn't mention it? You could give an explanation as to why it didn't mention shidra, but you can't give explanation as to why it didn't mention the head. And therefore, it's a question on Rav Nachman, not on Rav Huna. Whereas the Ramban and the Raiva would take a totally different approach to this, as opposed to Rashi and the Tosafot, who are trying to say that there are these alternative simanim over here, and the question is, why were they not included in the Mishnah that's found in Chulin? Rather, the Ramban says that everybody agrees here that Rosh and Shidra are definitive identifying marks, and even Rav Huna agrees that if you had Rosh or Shidra, that would be enough. The problem here is that you don't have a whole fish that's there. You only have a portion of the fish. And the question is, can you then, by identifying one of these features, either the Chuta Shidra or the head, can then you assume that the other pieces that are there, or the other half of the fish that seems to match up with this, is considered to be a kasher fish? Because you're like putting the puzzle pieces together. The Ravid says, unlike any of the other opinions, which seem to be indicating that these are simanei tahara, the Ravid suggests that these are identifying marks that can tell you to be matching up fish between different species. If you have a fish that has a similar head and shidra to another fish, can you then assume that just like the other fish is kasher, so is this fish? And so it's a way for people to identify kasher fish without seeing the fins and scales because you're able to match up the head and the spine. And the question is, how much do you need in order to have them be identified? Rav Nachman says either the head or the spinal cord is enough if you can match them up to tell you that the fish is kasher. As Rav Huna says, you need both of those items as identifying marks. But neither of those marks in of themselves are simanim that the fish are kasher. They're just ways to identify or match them with other fish. And according to Raivud, the question from the Mishnah in Chulin is the fact that there it says you need snapir v'kaskeset. According to Rav Huna, who requires both the rosh and the shidra, the spinal column, then you have both parts of the fish. So you can identify through the spinal column the kaskasim, the scales, and you can identify through the head the snapir. On the other hand, if you only require either the head or the spinal column, then you don't have both the snapir and kaskes have been captured by those pieces. And that's the question of the Gemara on that position of Rav Nachman. So Rashi and the Baalei HaTosafot see here clear identifying marks, and that is the Mishnah in Chulin versus what we are saying over here. The Ramban, on the other hand, says that everybody agrees that these simanim are just as good as the ones in the Mishnah. The question at hand is, can I then extrapolate knowing pieces of information and then trying to connect the fish together? Can I do that? And the Ravid says these aren't simanim at all. And the whole purpose of them is to identify or match up fish. Can I extrapolate because I have a similar spinal cord or head? and tell me that the fish is kasher? And the answer of the Gemara is, Amar Abayi Kitanya Ahi, that Mishnah in Chulin is speaking about Berara Upalmuda, which are known as, well, I saw one translation of them as skate, and Pelamis, which is a type of tunny fish that we had mentioned yesterday. Although I also saw other translations that seem to indicate that these are species of tuna. The Damu Reishayu L'Tameim, their heads look very similar to non-kosher fish. Therefore, you can't identify them through the shape of their head. But rather, you need to use Snapir V'Kaskeset, that you need to use the fins and scales in order to identify them. And so, according to Rashi, that means that when the Mishnah says you can only use Snapir V'Kaskeset, that's speaking about these particular species. That it's impossible to determine that they're kosher fish through their head or through their spinal cord. But outside of these particular species, one does have the ability to use Rosh and Sidra as the identifying marks. And the argument between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman is, how much do you need in terms of those identifying marks to match up the fish? Is it enough with the head, or do you need also the spine? And that's the machloket between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Whereas according to the Balei Tosfot, there are certain instances where the head is not a sufficient siman, and that's why you need the snapir v'kaskeset, because there are certain fish that even though they're kasher, their heads look like fish that's not kasher. But Eino Hanami, if you had the spine, that would be sufficient according to both Rav Nachman and Rav Huna as an identifying mark. And the machloket between them is, can you rely on the head as a siman in certain instances? Rav Huna says no, because they are these overlap fish that have heads that look like they're tmeim, and nevertheless they are kasher. And for Rav Nachman, you can rely on that siman of the head alone, because it seems that the errors that you're going to make are only errors that you're going to say that certain fish that are kasher would be tmei, and in those instances you use snapir v'kaskeset to identify them. According to the Ramban, then the answer of the Gemara is that there are certain fish that it's impossible to determine that they're kosher fish through their head or through their spinal cord. And based on that, you need the snapir v'kaskeset in those instances. Well, that means according to the Raivud, even though the head and the spine are not really simanim, you can rely on them in order to make a fish kasher, even though you've never seen the snapir v'kaskeset, which is a huge chiddush that you could use these tangential identifying marks without any siman muvhak to determine that the fish is kasher. And that's why the Ramban and many others reject that view of the Raivud and suggest that the head and the spine are really simanim muvhakim for fish that are kasher. Just there are some times where they're not useful enough, and that's why you have to then be relegated to using snapir v'kaskeset to make that determination. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmei Deula, machloket l'tabel b'tziran. Machloket between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna is only when you want to dip it into the tzir, the fish brine from these fish. Aval bugufan, when we're speaking about the fish hash, or the actual fish being there, dibri akol asur, ajay rosh v'shidra nikar. Then even there, Rav Nachman agrees to Rav Huna's position, and that you need both the rosh and the shidra to identify them. So, amar Rabbi Zera Meresh, ava matbilna b'tziran. In the beginning, I used to use the fish brine. Came in the Shemana, the Hadar of Amar Yehuda, Mishmed Ula. After I heard this memra from Yehuda in the name of Ula, Machloket the tabel b'tziran, that the machloket between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna is about the fish brine. Aval begufan, if you actually have pieces of fish there, dibi akol asur, ajay rosh v'shidra, nikar, until you're able to identify both the head and the spine. B'tziran, nami lo matvilna, then I stopped even dipping into the brine. So Abayi felt that the locha was like Rav Huna, that you needed both identifying features. But at first he thought that the machloket between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna revolved about whether you can actually eat the fish or not eat the fish. But as far as the brine is concerned, even Rav Huna agrees that one identifying feature would be sufficient. After he heard from Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Ula, which basically set up just the opposite, which is that by gufan, by the fish themselves, there's no machloket that there is a problem, and you need both rosh and shidra. It's only by the brine that they have a machloket, and if you're passing like Rav Huna, that means that you can't use the brine and you can't eat the fish until you have both identifying features, both that of Rosh and Shidra. But that implies that for some reason, Tzir is different than Dagim. The Balei Tosafot asks, well, isn't Tzir the proper non-kosher fish brine a problem, the Oraita? Because the Gemara in Chulin seems to bring a posuk that tells us that non-kosher fish brine is a problem, the Oraita. So Tosafot answers the problem by simply saying that it makes a difference for Bittul. When it comes to fish brine, the non-kosher fish brine can be Batel in the kosher fish brine, because it's not identifiable, it's not unique in any way. On the other hand, when it comes to the kosher and non-kosher fish, the fish itself is a separate birya. It's its own entity, and therefore, even if it's mixed up, it's not batel, because it still has a unique or identifiable separate standing, and therefore, it can't be batel. So even though both of them are problematic, midoraita, nevertheless, there is bitul by the brine, there is no bitul by the fish. On the other hand, the other Rishonim believe that the Balei Tosfot is mistaken in understanding that fish brine or the mixing of non-kosher fish brine is a problem to Uraita, because the pasuk is only an esmachta, and it's really only a din derabonon. And that would explain the difference between the fish brine and the fish hash, which is by the fish hash or by the fish themselves, there we're talking about a problem to Uraita. There's no way that we're going to be mevatel it. On the other hand, by the fish brine, which only a din derabonon, the question is, how careful did you have to be with regards to the fish brine? And that's why, at first, Abaye was mako by the fish brine. And then later on, even when we have a machaloki between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, it's only about the fish brine and not about the fish itself. Amar Rav Papa, Hilchotah, the halacha is, Adjei Rosh V'Shidrani Kar, Shkol Achat V'Achat. It's not only enough that you have the head and the spine of the fish in the fish hash, you need to be able to identify it for each one of the fish that is found inside of the fish hash. And that means that you have to get positive identity to each piece of fish to know that it really is kasher through the head and the shidra. Meitavei, is that really true? Chakdichot Sheish Ban Siman. If you have pieces of fish that are cut up, and you have a siman, ben bikulan, if you have a sign that it's a kosher fish about every piece, ben bimiksatan, only a portion of them, v'afilu echad bimeya, ben, even if it's 1 out of 100 that are there, kulan mutarot, they're all fine, there's no problem with that. Umase b'obed kochavim echad, shevi grav shel chatichot, there was an incident in which a non-Jew brought a barrel full of pieces of fish, v'nimsa siman b'achat mehen, and they found an identifying kosher mark on one of them, and then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was matter the entire barrel based on that. This goes against the psak that Rav Papa is giving. Targum Rav Papa. Rav Papa explained the case by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Kishachatichot shavot. It's a case where both Rashi and the Rabbeinu Kanan suggest over here that you can piece the fish together. The pieces are in such a manner that if you put the puzzle back together, you can find the whole fish. And that's why the siman on one of them was good enough for all of them in that case. Iyochi may the memra. If that's the case, it's so obvious that that should work, then what's the chiddush of the braita that we brought before, as well as the maisa that happened with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? So, maybe it just happens to be that they're the same size, but it's really not the same fish, Kamash Malan, that we don't worry about those issues. There was this ship or boat that came to shore that docked in Sichra. It was a boat of non-Jews, and the fish on there weren't clearly identifiable as being kasher fish. We saw before that zachanta was a species of anchovies that has a lot of other species that are very similar in look to it, and therefore it was hard to sometimes identify that it was a kasher species. Nafak Rav Huna Bar Chinina. So Rav Huna Bar Chinina went out to the boat, and he saw that there were scales on the boat, on the storage areas where the fish were, Fisharia, and he was matir. He says, if there are scales here, that's indicative of the fact that these species, which are all the same, are kasher, because we're seeing scales on the wall, and that's a clear identifying mark that the fish is kasher. And again, just to reiterate, at the Balei Tosfot say over here, that there's only one species of fish found in the boat. So, Melarovo, Miika, the Shari, Kehai, Gavna, who can be matir in this type of case? Ba'atri, the Shriche, Kalfe? In a city or in a place where there are many fish that have scales on them, who says that these scales were from the fish that are in there now? Maybe they're from the previous fish that were there. Maybe they were from a mix of fish that are in there. How can you be sure that just because you see scales that all the fish there should be deemed to be kasher in this instance? Nafak Shipure de Rava. So the shofar oath, which basically is the entourage or the announcers of Rava, went out vasar and said that you can't eat from this fish. It's not necessarily kasher. Shipure de Rav Huna Bar Chinina. On the other hand, the shofar oath of Rav Huna Bar Chinina or his announcers or his entourage went out vashari and said it was mutar. Amar Rav Yirmiya Midifti, the di Amar li Rav Papa. So Rav Yirmiya Midifti says, gives testimony as to what Rav Papi said to him, which is Kishara Rav Huna Bar Chinina Bitziran. Even Rav Huna Bar Chinina that was matir in this case was only matir for the fish brine, Val Begufan. When it comes to the fish hash or the fish themselves, he was not matir. Amar Vashi, the di Amar li Rav Papa. So Rav Vashi says, I heard from Rav Papa, Kishara Rav Huna Bar Chinina Afilu Begufan. When he was matir, it was even for the fish itself. Vanan Lo Meser Asrina. And Rav Vashi says about himself, I'm not Oser the fish. The Kamarli Rapapa, because Rapapa told me that Rabuna Bar Chinina thought it was totally fine. So in those instances where we have a situation like this, I can't be Oser the fish outright. Lo Mishnah Sharina, but on the other hand, I can't be Matirit. Daha Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmei Du'ula, because we already have the Memra above from Rav Yehuda Amar Ula, Machloket the Tabel Bitziran. That the Machloket, when people are Matir, is only when we're speaking about fish brine. Aval Begufan, Divrei HaKol, Achei Rosh Vishidra Nikar, Shel Kol Achad Vechad. Until you have the clear identifying mark of each fish that is there, and you have a head and a spine, or you have fins and scales for each one of the fish, it would not be sufficient. So here we have some dissonance in the psak. Given that, I'm not sure which way to go. So I can't be also then because of what Papa told me, that the machloket between Rav Huna Bar Chinina and Robo was actually about the fish itself. And that means Rav Huna Bar Chinina was matir the fish, so there I'm unwilling to be osir against Rav Huna Bar Chinina. On the other hand, I can't be matir it, because not only did Robo say that was problematic, but we also had the memra from Rav Yehuda in the name of Ula before that said that the machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna was only in the case of their fish brine, but not with regards to the fish themselves. And in addition, then we had the qualification that that meant that if for each one of them, you needed a separate identifying mark. So therefore, you can't then extrapolate just because you see scales on the wall that all these fish are considered to be kasherim. Yoti Rav Chinina bar Idi kamei de Rav Adar Bava, v'yoti v'kamar. Ovei kochavim shevi arivam le'a chaviot. If a Naju brings a boat full of barrels, v'nimtza kilbit v'achat mehem, and you find that fish that swims around in kosher fish brine in one of the barrels. Pituchot, if the barrels are all open, kulam mutarot, then they're all mutar. Stumot, if they are sealed, he mutar, the one that has the kilbit in it is fine. Kulan asurot, and the remainder are problematic. The way that Rashi explains it over here is that if they are open and you find one that has the kilbit floating around in it, you can assume that they're all similar and the kilbit was swimming in all of them, but it disappeared. It left the other ones or the other barrels because they were open. Now then, if the barrels are sealed, that means that if you don't find a kilbit inside, there's no reason or there's no way that we can say that the kilbit disappeared, and if it's not in there, that raises suspicions as to the fact that this fish brine must not be kasher, because otherwise you would have found the kilbit inside of it. As the Balei Tosfot pointed out, as we finished off the daf yesterday, according to Rashi, that means that you have to find at least two in the open barrel in order for it to be kasher, and then allow us to extrapolate to other open barrels. On the other hand, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, who said that that was speaking about the closed barrels, then for the open barrel, you'd only need one kilbit to be found in it for it to be kasher, and then extrapolate that to the remainder of the open barrels. But if they're closed barrels, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, that then you would need two kubiot in there in order to make them kasher. Whereas for Rashi, you would only need one in the stumot in the closed barrels. Amaleim and Alacha. So Rav Adar Bava says back to Rav Chinina bar Idi, where do you have this from? So he answers him, Mitlata Karaoi Shmili. I heard from three psukim, but it's not really three psukim, but meaning Rabbonan or Gedolim that are like psukim, or as if it came from the Torah itself, which is Mirabu Shmuel, Verabi Yochanan. So I heard it from these three great ones, and therefore it is a very, very strong mesora with regards to this memra. Amra bron amarav, kirvei dagim, v'ubran, eini kachim alei mumche. When it comes to fish innards, these are fish entrails, and fish roe, you cannot buy it except from an expert or for someone who is trustworthy in these matters because he knows that they are kasherim. So Ramile, Ulo the Rabbi Dustai, the Minberi, Midakama Rav, Kirvei Dagim, Ubran, Enachim Elimche, Michlau, the Dag Tamei, Itlei, Ubar. That makes it sound like a non-kosher fish also has eggs or also has roe, because otherwise we would have said that the kosher fish is clearly identifiable because its fish roe is only born by kosher fish and not by non-kosher fish. Very minu. Don't we have a principle? Dag tamei mashritz. When it comes to non-kosher fish, they have live birth. Dag tahor mitil beitzim. But kosher fish lay eggs. Sami mikan ubran. So his solution to the problem is to take out the word ubran from that statement of Amar Brona Amar Rav. Amar le Rav Zera lo tisme. So Rav Zera says to him, don't take it out. Tarvayu matile beitzim ninu. Both kosher fish and non-kosher fish lay eggs. Elezem mashritz mi bachutz. The kosher fish lay their eggs external to their body. Bezem mashritz mi bifnim. The non-kosher fish have eggs, but then the eggs hatch internally. And so when they come out of the non-kosher fish, they're coming out without the eggs. So now the Gemara asks a separate question. Lamali mumche, why do you need an expert to identify the eggs as being eggs from a kosher fish? Livdo v'simanim. We have identifying features that tell us as to whether eggs or fish roe is considered to be kosher. The Tanya. Ki simani beitzim kach simane dagim. The simanim of kosher eggs are the same thing that you use for fish. Gemara says, Simanei dagim saka datcha. Why would they have anything to do with the identifying features of a fish that make it kasher? Simanei dagim snapir vekaskesek tibo. The pasuk explicitly says that fins and scales are the identifying marks. Ela kisimanei beitzim kach simanei ubrei dagim. The same features that are true by kasher eggs are also true by fish roe. Ve'elohen simanei beitzim. What are the identifying features of kosher eggs? Kosher koderet ve'agol gelet. That it is elliptical in shape and that it rolls. Roshachad chad. One of the sides has a wide base to it. Roshachad chad. And one of the sides has a pointier end to it. So it's this elliptical egg shape that we know of in the eggs that we eat. Those are considered to be tehora if they have those identifying features. Ubet roshei chadin, if both ends of the egg are come to a point, ubet roshei chadin, or both ends of the egg come to a flatter, circular nature, so either they are more oblong in shape, or they're more spherical in shape, tmeyah. Those are non-kosher eggs. And in the same way that you can identify kosher and non-kosher eggs with regards to fowl, you can use that same shaping to identify the kosher roe. Chamon mi bachutz, if the yellow, the yolk, is on the outside, v'chelbon mi bifnim, and the albumin is in the internal part, tmeyah, then it's a problematic egg. Chelbon mi bachutz, if the white area, the albumin, is on the outside, v'chelbon bifnim, and the yolk is on the inside, tahor, that's a kosher egg. And again, that's something we are familiar with from the eggs that we eat, that the yolk is internal, and the albumin is on the outer side. Chelbon v'chelbon mu'arvim, zeh b'zeh, if the yolk and the albumin are mixed together, zombi bitzat sheretz. That's an egg of a sheretz. And Rashi over here identifies two shratzim that lay eggs. Out of the eight shratzim in the Torah, that's the tzav and the lita'ah. That's the lizard and a type of toad, which lay eggs. And Rashi says it's a nafkamina, because if inside the egg, the sheretz already begins to form, and then there's a hole in the egg, that will be metameva magamasar, to have the din of tumat sheretz. So then what do you need the expert for if we have simanim mufakim that can tell us whether the egg is kasher or not kasher? Just look at its shape and you'll know what the story is. So marava kashini mochu. It's a case where the fish roe has already been, quote-unquote, melted or mushed to the point where the eggs are no longer identifiable, or the shape of the eggs is no longer identifiable, and therefore you don't have the simanim to determine whether it's kasher or not, and that's why you need the mumcheh, you need someone with hashkocha to tell you that it is kasher. Ule Rabbi Dustai demin biri, damar sami mikan ubran. What about Rabbi Dustai, who says you should take out the ubran from the memra of Rav, which indicates that he doesn't think you need a mumcheh in order to buy this type of fish roe, because non-kosher fish don't reproduce through the laying of eggs. V'atanya, what are you going to do with the braita we just brought? Ki simanei beitzim, kach simanei ubrei dagim. That the same way that the identifying features of a egg of a fowl that is kasher is also used for fish roe, that implies that there are non-kosher fish that have eggs, and therefore you need to identify or separate between them. Where it says, lav terutzei metartzla? Wait a minute. The braita that you brought didn't say that at first. You reread the braita to say that because the braita didn't make sense. Kach simanei kirvei dagim. So you could just reread it to say, instead of saying that the simanim of the beitzim are the same, you could just say that it's kach simanei kirvei dagim. That references to the innards of the fish and not to the eggs. Behecha mishkachat b'simanei kirvei dagim shehei kad v'chad. Where do you have an instance where the innards of the fish are going to have the same features as the eggs of kasher fowl, where it's rounded on one side, narrow on the other side, it has this elliptical shape to it? Mishkachat ba b'shilpucha. You have it with the fish bladder that has air in it, and that fish bladder will take on the shape of the eggs of kosher fowl, and you can use that as the identifying feature. Rabbi Yotam has a huge chiddush over here, which is, he believes, unlike all the other Rishonim, that simanei ubrei dagim, these simanim that the Gemara gives here for the fish roe, are deoraita, are mina Torah, and you can rely on them mina Torah. Lekach yesh latir haburbut, that you could be matir this fish, af al gav deimanu matzim behem kaskasim, even though we don't find any scales on them, dayesh behem simanim beubarim, because they have the simanim that are mentioned here, and the fish roe, umeyo yesh litchot olam emin lecha simanim. The Baal Yitosfot in the end say maybe we don't have to hold like Rabbeinu Tam, and that the simanim of the roe are not oraita, and therefore you can't rely on them to be the sole determinant as to whether a fish is kasher. But the Baal Yitosfot say in the end, miu ein leesor ha burbuch ki emetu sheyesh lo b'mayim u mashiram b'shat sho'oleh min hayam. because that fish does have scales in the water. It's just when you take it out of the water, it loses its scales. So he says for a different reason that it is kasherier, because it really does have the simanei kashrut of a fish. So the truth is that the psak of the Rabbeinu Tam is correct, but for the wrong reason. He said it's because you can identify it through the eggs, but the Baal HaTosfot would say, no, you have to identify it through the snapir v'kaskes, or really kaskes, because that's the only thing that really matters. And there are kaskesim on this fish. It just drops them when it's pulled out of the water. And that's why the fish is kasher. But you cannot use the simanim of the eggs as determinant with regards to kashrut for fish to be kasher, because they're only derabanan and not deoraito. If there is no expert over there to identify them, what do you do? So Amar Rav Yehuda, came into Marani Melachtim Mutarim. If the individual says that I salted the fish, I'm the one who took out the innards, and I can tell you that they were all kasherim, then you can rely on them, mutarim. Nachman Amar Shumar Elu Dagim Velu Kirbeim. It has to be that he can identify for you the fish and their innards. It's not enough that he can tell you that the innards were salted by him. He has to actually show you the fish from which the innards came from. Ori le Rav Yehuda la Ada Dailo. So Rav Yehuda gave instructions or psak halocha to Ada, who was a cook or a chef. Came in Damar ani melachtim mutarim. He told him that you can rely on my psak, that if the person told you that the innards were salted from me and they came from a kosher fish, that's sufficient to deem them kosher. The Rashi over here says that the machloket here between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman is to the question if we worry about someone making a mistake. According to Rav Yehuda, if he tells us that he salted them and he came out of kosher fish, we're going to rely on him. On the other hand, according to Rav Nachman, he's not trusted because maybe he's just not an expert. But that means, according to Rashi, the expert that we're speaking about here is an expert fisherman, not an expert in kashrut. We just need to know that he knows the fish that he's catching, and he can clearly identify them as being kasher fish. Whereas other Rishonim believe that the mumche that we're speaking about here, and as we've translated along, is someone who has hashkocha, someone who has nemanut. And it's not about their prowess as a fisherman, but rather whether he is a trustworthy type of individual. And did he buy this stuff from a goy, is now representing it as something that is kosher? Or is this someone that is willing to lie or cheat in order to sell off non-kosher fish as kosher fish and make a higher profit? So Rav Yehuda says the person is trustworthy because the person might lie about where he sourced the fish from, but he's not going to go as far as to lie and say that they're kosher when they're not kosherim. And Rav Nachman says that we believe that he'll lie even about these matters, and therefore we need to have some sort of checking mechanism or way to ensure that he is fearful of cheating here, because he has to show you the fish that he took the innards from. Going back to the Mishnah, we said that the halacha shel chiltit is mutar be'achila en hana'a. Pshita. Of course it is. What's the problem with the leaf of the chiltit? Even the chiltit itself, the only problem was that it was a dover charif and they were cutting it with a non-kosher knife. But the leaves, you're not going to cut them. You need it for the little pieces of chiltit that might be attached to the leaf. So what you have to worry about possibly is that he's going to bring other chiltit that was cut with the knife and mix it in with these leaves that also have little pieces with them. That the little pieces of chiltit that are found there are because they detach naturally, they slip off of the leaves without any cutting by the knife. And that's why you have these little pieces of chiltit there, not because he mixed in other pieces of chiltit, but because that's the natural process of the leaves to shed those little pieces of chiltit that they have on them. And now we're dealing with the next piece in the Mishnah, Zeite Kluska Ota Mugul Galim. These are the olives that are sitting together and slowly softening up in order to be pressed. Pshita, why do you have to worry about this at all? Why is there any issue that it should be asur be achilo or hana? Even though they seem to be very, very soft, that they put wine in there in order to cause them to soften much faster. But you say, no, that the reason they're gotten soft is because they're sitting in their own oil, and not because they added wine in order to soften them up. Rabbi Yossi Amar Shlachim Asurim. We saw at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says Shlachim with regards to Zeitim are Asurim. Hechi Dami Shlachim. What exactly are these Shlachim? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Kosha Okzo B'Yadov Garinato Nishmetet. If they're so soft that when you pick up the olive, the pit goes flying out by itself, that already you have to be choshesh for the fact that they might have put wine or vinegar in there in order to soften them that much. What he's saying is, yes, if they're soft, it's okay. But if they're super soft to the point where the pit falls out of them, then that's a problem. Because then you have to be suspect of the fact that they put wine or vinegar in them. And then we have the last piece of the Mishnah, which we explained in the Mishnah. Here the Gemara is going to explain that, which is Tanrogan, Hachagavim, when it comes to these locusts or grasshoppers that are ksherim, Kafrisim, capers, Vakaflutot and leeks, Habayim and Otsar, Umen Heftek. If they come out of the warehouse, the stock, or out of the boat, these are all areas where there's long-term storage, mutarim. All of those are mutar to eat. On the other hand, anim karim bikatloza, those that are sold on the counters in front of the stores. The other girsa is salula, which means that these are the baskets that are laid out for selling of these items in the storefronts. Asurim, those are problematic, because there he sprinkles wine on them. The reason he does that is to make them look good and moist and tasty, the ones that he's selling out there, but that he only does with the ones that are in the storefront because that reduces their shelf life. So those items that are in the storage for a long time, if you put wine on them, they would go bad. They become rancid. So he wouldn't do that. So that's how you know. If you see him take him out of the storage area, then you're fine. Because then you know for sure he didn't put any wine on them. And Rashi on the Mishnah knows that there's no problem with Bishul Akum because they're Nechalim Chai. They're eating in their raw state. And there's no problem of Giulei Ovdei Kochavim because we're going to assume that it's no Tein Tam Lifgam. Since there's nothing to worry about, that's why we make them Mutar in this case. V'chein, Yein Tapuchim Shel Ovdei Kochavim. Apple cider of the non-Jew, habayim in otzar, umina heftek, umina asalula, mutarim. You know, otzar from the storage areas, a heftek or the stock, umina salula, or the alternate gears over here is mina svina. That's either from the baskets or from the boat. It's mutarim. Nikarim, bekat loza, those that are sold on the counters, asur, mivnesha marvin bo yain, because then they mix wine into it again to enhance the flavor and to make it look better. But that's only true when they are selling it right off and it says short shelf life. Things that are stored, they won't do that because it'll cause it to deteriorate faster. As the Ron notes over here, we're more worried about apple cider than things like beer and other types of beverages because apple cider is more expensive than wine. And therefore there is an incentive for the individual to put wine in there as a filler because he'll make money on it. As opposed to most of the other drinks where wine is more expensive and it doesn't pay for him to put the wine in as a filler. Tarabanan, pamachat chash Rebbe b'me'av was an incident where Rabbi had a stomach ache. Amar klumi yesh adam shiyodei yein tipuchim shel ovdei kochavim asura mutar. Is anybody here who knows the halacha as to whether apple cider is considered to be kasher or not kasher when it's sourced from a non-Jew? Amar lafav Rishmol b'Rabbi Yossi pamachat chash abba b'me'av. Rishmol b'Rabbi Yossi says about his father Rabbi Yossi that he also once had a stomach ache. V'yivilo yein tipuchim shel ovdei kochavim shel ayin shana. They brought for him apple cider that was already aged for 70 years. V'shatai, drank it, v'nitrapeh, and he was healed. Amalo, kol kach haya b'yotchav, ata mitzareini? You knew this din, and you've been making me wait to figure this out? You should have told me this earlier. Batku matzu ovei kochavim echad, she'elo shlosh meod garbe, yein shel tapichuim shel ayin shana. They went and did an investigation. They found one non-Jew had 300 barrels of apple cider that was 70 years old. In general, when the Gemara uses the word 300, it's an exaggeration. It just means he had plenty of it. Bishata, Rabbi drank it, v'nitrapeh, and he was healed. Amar, Baruch HaMakom, Shemassar Olomo, LaShomrim. Blessed is Hashem who gave over his world to the guardians. That Hashem gave over these good things to people who save and who store things for a long period of time. So sometimes these miserly pack rats are actually beneficial for the chachamim and tzaddikim. And that's the nature of the bracha that Rabbi was making over here, that every type of person is useful because sometimes we need them for medicinal purposes. V'chein le'truma, that was the last line of the Mishnah, we wanted to understand that. My v'chein le'truma. Amram sheshet v'chein le'kohen ha'chashud limkor truma l'shem chulin. If we have a kohen who's chashud to sell truma as if it is chulin in order to make money because truma either comes to him free or he can buy it very cheap, so then if he resells it as chulin, he'll make great margins on it, but it's problematic because he's selling truma. With fanav hu dasur, if it's in front of him and he's trying to sell it, then it's problematic. Avabamin otzar, if it comes out of the storehouse, umina heftek, or the stock, umina salula, or from the baskets, in the way that the Bali Tosva note over here, it's a zuv af zuv type of layout, which is the first one has the longest storage, and therefore it's the most obvious that it should be fine. The other one is a temporary storage area. The last in the list, whether it's lula or svina, those are even more temporary, but since all of them are long-term type of storage, nobody mixes wine with them, whether it's the longest-term storage or even down to the shortest storage that is associated with the boats. Because there, yitute mirtat, Because he's fearful, Savar Shami Be Rabbanan, if the Rabbanan get wind of the fact that he's selling Trumas Kulin, then they're going to come with Mafsadula Minayit. They're going to confiscate all of this stuff that he has, and he's going to lose big. So if he's selling small quantities, then that's a problem, because even if he gets caught, they can only penalize him on those small quantities. But if he's selling out of a large quantity or large storage area, then you don't have to worry, because he's too scared to take the risk of getting caught and then losing everything, because the penalty will be bigger than the margins that he's garnering on it, and that's why it would be mutar in that case. And with that, we finish the second perek, Hadron Alach, Ein Mamidim.